Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a tape dust style bass wobble in Ableton Live 12 that feels like chopped vinyl, worn tape, and old school jungle energy, but still hits with modern DNB weight and control. The big idea here is that we're not just designing a bass sound. We are composing a bass line that behaves like a hook. It should feel half riff, half rhythm section. That's the sweet spot for jungle and old school DNB, where the bass line is memorable because of its phrasing, not just because it's loud or heavily processed. This style works especially well in darker rollers, old-school jungle, break-led arrangements, and grimy halftime switch-ups. And the reason it works is simple. It gives you movement, nostalgia, and tension all at once. That means even a pretty basic drum loop can feel alive if the bass line has the right personality. We're going to use stock Ableton Live 12 devices for the whole thing. Operator, wave eatable, auto filter, saturator, echo, redux, drum bus, utility, and a little resampling. The workflow is bass first, rhythm first, tone second, degradation third. That order matters. First, set up your session. Pick a tempo between 170 and 174 BPM if you want full DNB energy, or a little lower if you want a heavier roller feel. Set the key early too. F minor or G minor is a great place to start, because those keys sit naturally under dark sub motion. Create three MIDI tracks. Name them sub, mid bass, and FX or texture. Then build a simple two-bar drum loop. Keep it basic. Kick on 1, snare on 2 and 4, maybe the ghost kick before beat 4, and a break or top loop if you want some shuffle. The reason we start with the drums is because the bass has to lock into that pocket. If the bass phrase doesn't respect the snare and kick placement, the whole groove will feel unstable in a bad way. While you're composing, keep the master peaking around minus 6 dB. That gives you room for saturation, filtering, and drum bus processing later without the mix falling apart. Now let's build the sub. On the sub track, load operator. Use a sine wave or something very close to a sine. Keep it clean. This is your weight, your foundation, your low-end anchor. Set the attack very fast, basically 0 to 5 milliseconds. Keep the decay short to medium and use a release around 40 to 90 milliseconds so the notes don't blur together. If you want that old-school glide flavor, add a bit of portamento or legato-style slide, somewhere around 50 to 120 milliseconds. Now write a simple two-bar MIDI pattern. Don't overplay it. Think jungle bass line, not EDM melody. Leave space. A strong pattern might hit on beat 1. Answer on the offbeat before 2, then change note on the end of 2 or 3, and maybe hold a longer note at the end of the phrase. The sub should feel intentional, but not busy. Keep it mono. Use utility if needed to make sure the low end stays centered and controlled. In this style, the sub gives you the body, while the wobble gives you the identity. If both layers are trying to do everything, the mix gets cluttered fast. Next, design the mid-bass layer. On the mid-bass track, load Waveeatable. Start with a saw-based or analog-style patch, something with enough harmonic content to move around under filtering. Add a little detune, but don't turn it into a giant supersaw. We want character, not trance width. A good starting point is two oscillators with saw or saw and square, a little unison, maybe 2 to 4 voices, and a low-pass filter with a touch of resonance. Then assign an LFO to the filter cutoff. This is where the wobble comes from. Try musical rates like 1/8 for a classic rolling wobble, 1/16 for a more nervous feel, or dotted eighth if you want something more chopped and broken. Keep the modulation strong enough to hear, but not so deep that the bass disappears every time the filter closes. After Waveeatable, add saturator. Give it a few dB of drive and turn on soft clip. That helps the bass hold its shape when the filter moves. In DNB, especially with fast drums, a weak mid-range vanishes easily. Saturation helps the bass stay audible and solid. Now comes the real heart of the lesson, the chopped vinyl rhythm. This is not just about sound design. It's about note placement. Open the MIDI clip and start carving the phrase into small, deliberate chunks. Use short notes, then leave gaps. Use one bar or two bar cells. Try a pattern with a couple of short hits, a rest, then a longer note, or a repeated two-note cell followed by a gap and a fill note. That kind of phrasing makes it feel like a chopped record loop, rather than a perfectly smooth synth line. Use velocity changes too. Make some notes hit harder, some softer. Vary note lengths. Let a few notes start slightly early or slightly late. Add the occasional octave jump for emphasis. Those tiny imperfections are what sell the vinyl illusion. And here's a useful mindset shift. Think in phrases, not loops. A tape dust bassline feels more real when every two-bar cell has a question and an answer. One phrase asks something. The next phrase replies. If every bar says the same thing, it stops sounding like a track and starts sounding like a preset demo. A nice trick here is to shape the bass like a conversation with the drums. The bass answers the kick, leaves room for the snare, and then twists into a fill at the end of the phrase. That call and response feel is classic jungle language. Now we add the dirt, but in a controlled way. On the mid-bass chain, try redux for a bit of grain and downsampling, echo for a tiny smear or tail, auto-filter for extra motion, and drum bus if you want more density and bite. Keep redux subtle. You want tape dust flavor, not destroyed auto. Use just enough bit reduction or sample rate reduction to rough up the edges without losing pitch clarity. With echo, keep the feedback low, around 5-15%, and make the mix very light. Auto filter can add another layer of movement, but again, keep the range musical. This is also where automation starts to matter. A little cutoff drift, a little extra drive in the second half of the phrase, maybe a tiny pitch wobble or gritty fill moment. Those details create the impression that the bass is being handled, played back, or reworked from old source material. One of the most powerful moves in this whole workflow is resampling. Once the phrase is working, bounce the bass to audio. That gives you something physical to chop. Then cut the audio into phrases, slices, tails, and fills. Reverse one slice. Shorten another. Mute the tail if you need tighter space. Suddenly it feels less like a synth loop and more like a dug-up dub plate being re-edited for a modern drop. This is a huge composition advantage because you start making decisions based on what sounds good, not just what the patch can do. Now put the bass against the drums and listen to it as a section. In D&B, arrangement is often groove design. A simple 8-bar drop layout works really well here. Bars 1 and 2 introduce the main phrase. Bars 3 and 4 add a variation, maybe a higher note or an extra chop. Bars 5 and 6 strip something out so the groove can breathe. Bars 7 and 8 bring in a fill, reverse hit, or octave answer. That kind of progression keeps the listener engaged without needing a new bass sound every two bars. You're basically letting the phrase evolve like a real performance. For arrangement, a few great moves are: mute the wobble for half a bar before the snare, use a low pass sweep at the end of a 4-bar phrase, add a tiny pitch rise into the next section, or use a short vinyl crackle or atmosphere bed in the intro. Small moves can make a big difference. Now let's clean up the mix. Keep the sub-mono. Don't high-pass it unless you absolutely have to. Make sure it isn't fighting the kick fundamental. On the mid-bass, gently high-pass if needed somewhere around 70 to 110 Hz so the sub stays clean. If the bass gets cloudy, cut a little mud around 200 to 400 Hz. If it starts biting too hard, tame the 2 to 5 kHz range. On the drums, let the snare crack through. If the kick and bass are stepping on each other, shorten the kick tail or simplify the bass note length. And check the track in mono regularly. Old school inspired bass can sound wide and exciting, but if the low end wanders, you lose weight immediately. Now for some finishing automation. Use filter cutoff, saturator drive, auto filter resonance, echo mix, and utility width on the mid layer only. You can shape the emotional arc of the bass just with automation. For example, keep bars 1 and 2 darker, make bars 3 and 4 a little brighter and more driven, throw a tiny echo at the end of bar 4, then pull things back again before the next rise. If you want an easy variation system, make a rack with 3 chains, a clean wobble, a dirtier tape-dusted version, and a fill-only version, with higher cutoff and more distortion. Then automate the chain selector or mute states. That gives you arrangement movement without rewriting the whole bass line. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't overplay the bass. Less note count usually means more impact. Don't let the sub wobble too much. Keep the movement mostly in the mid-bass. Don't widen the low end. And don't randomize automation all over the place. Make your changes across 4 or 8-bar phrases so the music feels intentional. If you want to push this style further, here are a few extra tips. Use darker note choices and stay in the minor key. Let the mid-bass briefly open up at the start of a note so it speaks before closing back down. Resample and re-chop the result. Add tiny ghost notes before the main hits. And drive the mids more than the lows so you get grit without sacrificing power. You can also try some advanced variations. One is a bar and damage move, where the last slice of every 4 bars is reversed, slightly pitch shifted down, or filtered darker. Another is a 2-speed wobble, with one layer moving slowly at 1/8 and a quieter layer moving faster at 1/16. That gives the bass a more unstable, alive feel. You can also use velocity to control tone so harder hits open the filter slightly more, making repeated notes feel less static. For sound design extras, Try layering a very quiet attack click by duplicating the mid-bass, high-passing it heavily, and giving it a tiny transient spike. Or use band-pass filtering for a quick radio slice moment in a fill. Even a subtle pitch instability can make the bass feel more like old tape playback. For homework, build a 16-bar jungle or DNB bass section using one sub-track and one mid-bass track. Stay in F minor, G minor, or a minor. Use at least two rhythm cells, one octave jump, one reversed or resampled slice, and at least one automation move that changes the feel. Keep the sub simple and let the mid-bass carry the character. Then make three versions, the cleanest one, the dustiest one, and a drop variation with a different ending. The real goal here is to make a bassline that feels like a hook, not just a texture. If you can recognize the phrase after hearing it once, if it still works when the drums get busy, and if the mono version keeps its weight, then you've built something real.